Greetings, everybody. I'm Jeremiah.
That's him.
She's Vanya.
That's me. Welcome to another episode of the Beard & Curls podcast, where culture and creativity meets consciousness.
And if you're new here, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite platform for the latest, most exciting conversations anywhere.
You ready?
I'm ready. Cue that intro.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Margo Bingham.
Karen Parsons.
You're now tuned in.
You're now tuned in.
You're now tuned in.
You are now tuned in.
You are now tuned in
to Beard & Curls.
Beard & Curls.
Beard & Curls.
Beard & Curls.
Beard & Curls. Keep it locked.
What up, BNC family? Today's guest is a friend of the show. However, you guys may know him best from MTV's The Challenge from back in the day. We're talking about none other than Brendan Drake Nelson. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's jump right into it, man. So obviously, a few years ago, you were on a show called The Challenge, MTV's The Challenge. Now, I'm not sure if today's generation, a lot of youth listening to this might be able to tell what we're talking about, even though I think the show is still going on. But what can you tell people about The Challenge, for those who might not be familiar with it?
I would say a quick rundown is that originally it was called the Railroad Road Rules Challenge. That's where, you know, they took the two shows because they were produced by the same company, Bunim & Murray, and they were both on MTV. And they came up with this concept of putting them against each other in a physical challenge kind of situation. And it kind of just blew up from there. I mean, the crazy thing about it is a lot of other reality shows that are on now kind of took that blueprint and made it into their own. Like, you know, people that watch Survivor, they're diehard fans. I know some folks that were on that show. But people don't know about the Real World Road Rules Challenge. They took that format and made Survivor. A lot of people don't think about that, but that's pretty much it. You know, from the beginning, it was the Real World Road Rules Challenge. Now it's just The Challenge, and it's evolved several different ways. Some that I like, some that I don't, but I'm happy that it's still on.
So then, like you said, like you've seen kind of like it's morphed over the years, though. So what are some of the ways that you've seen it change? You know, tremendously from when you were on to what it is today?
In all honesty, because I like to be transparent anytime I'm talking to somebody about stuff like this, I haven't really watched probably the last, I'd say maybe 5 to 6 seasons. I mean, if I catch it while it's on, I'll watch it for a second. But I'm kind of biased, you know. If I'm not on it, why am I watching it? But, and especially, like, it is what it is. But if I got some people on there that I really rock with, then I'll see what they got going on. But for the most part, because you know how editing goes, that happened a long time ago. So if my boy Leroy's on there, he already let me know what's happening before it even airs. So it's like, you know, what's the point of watching? You know, Cara, she's going to hit me up and let me know something. And now you have these people from overseas on their different shows. You have people from Big Brother, so like it's morphed into this thing where it's like anybody can get it, which is cool. Like that's my mindset anyway. But when I was coming up in it, it was like, okay, we're just regulated to this and nobody else can get in. It's like its own little exclusive social group. And then now it's wide open. But I mean, you know, ratings are ratings. And if it's good TV, it's good TV. But I'm more about the competition part of it. Like all that drama that goes on with it, it's cool and all. But yeah, you got some folks that are in there just trying to be movie stars. We're not making a movie.
I was like going to ask you about that. Like, how much of that stuff was for real and how much was that for TV, though?
Now, I mean, and a lot of people ask me that, too. Is it scripted? Now, in my experience, on the 5 seasons I was on, nothing scripted. I mean, you might get nudged towards a situation because you got to check this out. So it's like when we first get to the house, you can have anywhere from 26 to 30 people who all think they're the coolest people and they click from where they're from. So when they get there, they're trying to one-up each other. As soon as you walk in the house, everybody thinks that, you know, they're the cool kid in class. And then they want to test each other, right? The thing about it is in the house, there's no music. There's no phones. They take everything from you as soon as you get to the airport. You never know where you're going as soon as you get to either LAX or Miami or LaGuardia. So you never know where you're going until you get there and you put you on a plane while you're in flight, then they'll let you know where you're landing. So they take your phones, they take your computers, they take everything. When you get into the house, you can't watch TV, you don't have your phones, you can't get on the computer, you can't even listen to music. If they catch you in your room just sitting down writing, they're like, no, we're shooting the show, you need to go interact. So as far as it being scripted, not at all in my experience, but sometimes you might get nudged to get into a social situation to, you know, interact with people. And that's where the drama starts. Because, I mean, we only had two challenges a week, Monday and Thursday. If you didn't get eliminated, as the people dwindle, your mind starts going crazy. You can't go do the regular things you want to do all the time. To answer the question directly, nah, it's not scripted at all. It's just you get that pent up, you know, who are you talking to kind of thing. And then now you just want to flex and then things happen.
I feel you, man. I feel you. What do you remember most about being on the show? Like, what are some of the things that stay with you to this day?
I would say just the one big thing that sticks out with me is like the hurry up and wait. So like we'd be getting rushed to get ready because we have to, you know, do this shot as we're walking out the house. And so we have to get to location to do this challenge. And then you get there and you're literally sitting there for like an hour and a half before we can even do anything. So everybody's all amped up. We're on the bus. We're ready. People are taking energy shots and whatever they do to get ready. I ain't going to say no names about what people do on the low. But, you know, everybody's getting ready. You know, it's right before you're coming out the tunnel if you're playing ball. And then you get there and you're just sitting there. That's one thing that sticks with me because it's so annoying. Also, the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like, every season that comes out, you're waiting on that phone call. And as soon as you get there, half the time, you're like, man, I just want to go home. So that's another thing that sticks out. But I would say as when we're on set, something that really sticks out to me, Under Armour is one of our sponsors and we get so much free stuff from Under Armour. So that's like my biggest go-to. I'm like, oh, y'all gonna cast me to season two? Man, what am I gonna get in this Under Armour bag when I get there? So that's a big takeaway. And then some of the friendships that you make when you get there. I mean, like there's only a handful of people I still rock with since I've done the show, but you do get to know some things about some folks off camera when you do that. But that's a big takeaway for me.
How many people do you still keep in contact with, like, on a regular basis?
I mean, Leroy is my boy. Like, I convinced him to move out here to Vegas. Me and he only did one season, but me and him still talk. Me and Sandy still talk. She only did one season, too. That was the first season. Let's see. Mark Long actually hit me up a few weeks ago about the We Want OGs. So he just cut a deal with Bynum and Murray about bringing, you know, back some fan favorites, some old school cats. So they cut a deal. He might be getting a season popped off. I might be a part of it. I don't know. I might be speaking too soon on it, but there's no contract signed, so I can speak freely. But yeah, he's cool people, man. So every time I see certain folks, man, it's all love. I mean, there's very few people that I've dealt with on the show that I just genuinely dislike.
If you could go back to that experience, man, if you could change any one thing about your experience on the show, what would you change?
I just would have been more vocal about the little stuff that has been coming out on the back end, like, you know, especially with people, you know, using certain terminology they shouldn't be using. There's been several instances that, you know, hit the cutting room floor that didn't make air, but I mean, and I'm a name dropper, I don't care, like, on Cutthroat, my second season, which was Camilla's first season, there was several little incidents with her where even when they were picking teams, I was like next to last being picked, even though I carried that whole team pretty much through the season. But she was like, her last pick was me. And she was like, oh, her quote was, oh, so we can get a little bit more color on this team. I'm going to go with Brandon. And I'm like, wow. So I let that go. And then even in the house, it's never made air. She said the N-word in the house. And she was, you know, saying something to me because I was talking about something or whatever. And then I was like, really? And then like everybody was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And they kind of shut that down. Producers even talked to me and was like, you cool? I'm like, I'm from Arkansas originally. So that stuff slides off of me. I mean, they're still to this day having active KKK rallies at City Hall, but it's their First Amendment right. So that's a whole nother conversation. But I kind of just brushed it off. But now in the social climate that we're in now, all this stuff is getting brought back up. And then she did it again to Leroy, you know, seasons later that I wasn't on. I feel like I would have been a lot more vocal about stuff that bothered me. But I mean, I'm gonna tell you, to be totally honest, coming from where I'm from, and I hate this, and I'm not like that anymore, but this meek kind of stance that we all take as, you know, black people sometimes, whereas I'm just happy to be here. I don't want to mess it up. And I feel like that's where I was at that point. And I'm like, man, I'm out here. I'm one of three black people on this 30-person cast. I'm not finna mess this up. You know what I'm saying? And if I get an opportunity to get back on there, they gonna see the other side. So
speaking of that, man, so if you did get that invite, so you're basically saying you would go back on there?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, ultimately, you know, money's the motivator, but also just to be more me. I don't think I ever really was. I kind of got burnt out by like my fourth season. The last one I did was Free Agents. We went in Uruguay. They kept telling me I was saying it wrong. I was going Uruguay. I was like, no, it's Uruguay. So, but like, even when I got that one, it was just like, man, you get there and you just see all the people. These people are not the same off camera. And I just can't, I'm not an actor. You know, we're in a reality show, it's a competition show. Now, granted, I've done some commercials before. I've done some little, you know, independent little stuff or whatever. And you get a script, you're told what to say. On this one, you know, they come in and they know they got to be over the top and get more camera time. I'm like, you fake. We just did an appearance a few months ago before we got here, and you are not the same person. But when I call them out on that, that don't make air, you know. And that's, I think that's why, you know, I haven't been on in a minute. But I definitely would take that opportunity. I mean, of course, you know, the check's going to be good. But just to be like, you know what, I'm calling everybody out. I'm here to get that money. I'm not here to make any new friends. Y'all are all cool. I'm sure if I get back on, I'm not going to know half the people there anyway. And I don't care to. So, I mean, I'm just at that point right now, man. I got two kids. I'm married. I'm there for one goal. Get that money. Bring it back to the house.
So going back to the competition piece of it, so obviously you're part of a team. And if you lose, you lose as a team. And so what was that part like for you? Because you could be like, look, I'm good. I'm not the weakest link, but everybody around me, you know, is weak and they're not able to hold their own. But then I still suffer for that. So what was that part like for you?
It was tough, man, because that's not how I was brought up. Like I made it too personal. And that's just, you know, coming from Arkansas, my dad, my mom, it's like, you know, your word is your bond. Like you know, and especially your work is also, you know, that actions speak louder than words. I don't gotta tell you nothing if I'm showing you what I'm doing. So if I'm out there, you know, busting my tail and y'all falling short, but I'm the new guy and you want to protect your friend, I get that. I'd like to know that beforehand, but that ain't how the game works. So I'm cool on that. But at the same time, it would behoove you to let me know, because now I'm going to be like, I now just want to hurt you. Or I could have just sabotaged the entire situation. You know, I could have been like, okay, y'all throw me in anyway. I'm not going to help you win. Because if you look back on Cutthroat, every time we would get close, we would lose. We had the strongest team on the red team, but I would get thrown into elimination. I went into four, I won three. I lost the last one to Derek. It, you know, he just beat me, no big deal. But the red team ended up winning. You know why? Because I carried that whole team, and they ended up skating to the final. They ended up winning the final, but nobody had to go into elimination because I went in every time, and I got them more than halfway there. It's just it's hard because it's like, okay, your work means nothing. It's more about the political game. I'm more of a, hey, this wall needs to get knocked down. All right, let's go knock it down. Where you got somebody else that's like, oh, I'm gonna hire somebody else to do it. So that's just it's I gotta get in a different mindset of that. But I mean, it sucks, but you know, I don't like to play people, but I mean, in that scenario, you just gotta play people.
Yeah, part of the reason I was asking though, Brendan, was because I read somewhere that you hate to lose, man. Like, you're very competitive. So I want to know, like, was that leading at you to see yourself and your team losing? And it wasn't because of you, though. You know what I mean?
It's something you got to bottle up, because, I mean, it's like, I mean, I played football all my life. And it's like, you know, you could have 15 touchdowns and 1,000 yards in one game, but you lose. You can't go to your team and be like, hey, I did my part. You know, what you do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just as a leader, that's just not in me. But I'm just like, man, like, y'all, we got money on the line. And y'all just, I'm doing my part. What more can I do? And they just sitting back going, oh, well, you know, we don't know. I mean, we've been doing these shows for, you know, years. This is Brad talking to me, man. We've talked since then. And Brad, I mean, he cool people, but if he in town, don't call me. I'm not finna meet up with you to have a beer. Like, it's not, I mean, we cool, but, you know, it's whatever. You was playing the game. I got. But, yeah, as competitive as I am, that's why I cut people off afterwards, because now I see where you at. But Yeah, it's just I can't do that. If I'm a part of a team, we all need to be working together, and we need to see who did what and who did not. And if you're the weakest link, you got to go bust your chops and get back in here. It's not about who's new. It's about what you did that day. So, I mean, even when I was playing ball, it's like, okay, well, you had a horrible game. You're going to be in the practice squad throughout this next week of practice. If you can work your way back up to maybe second string or starting, you can. You got a week to do it. But if you don't, then you at where you're at because what you did in the last performance that we had. On this show, man, there's no loyalty. There's no nothing. They do not care. That money's at the end of that tunnel. They're going about that money. They'll talk to you on the back end, but that don't mean nothing on camera because now the whole world see you and they see them, and it's like, man, you got. So,
but real quick though, man. So like, obviously you came on, Perth came on with fresh meat too, right? Would you follow that same format to get back on, or would it be totally different having already been on the show?
Well, no, it's totally different once you get on the show. So I like telling this story. So I was supposed to be on the Real World Cancun. So I was still at home in Arkansas. This was like 2008, actually. I was a big fan of the Real World coming up, and I was on the MTV website. Now they used to have a schedule on there about, you know, places they would be to do open casting calls and things like that. So I made a little profile. They got back to me. They said they were going to be in Little Rock, and right down the street from my apartment, actually. So they gave me the little confirmation. I go downtown. Nervous as I don't know what. So get in there, they take you back by groups of eight. Well, of course, I'm there early. And I get up in there, I go sit down, they got all these chairs or whatever, and there's this girl that's already sitting in there. So I go sit next to her, we're talking and stuff, and then my boy worked right across the street. So I'm like, hey, how are you? Where are you from? You know, you're here for the casting? And she's just talking to me like, yeah. I was like, hey, well, after this, you know, my boy's a bartender across the street. If you want to go get a drink, you know, I'm still single at this point. So I'm just like, you know, whatever you want to do. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. So everybody gets sat. This girl who I was talking to the entire time, she stands up after everybody gets set. They shut the door. She goes, I forget her name. She goes, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm the casting director for Beauty and Murray for the night. I'm like, oh, my God. I done messed up. I've been trying to holler at this chick. I did not know who. I mean, this is real. I got this like, man. So she's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Everybody introduce yourself. Everybody introduce yourself. I really wanted to leave. So gets around to me. Everybody has these preset answers. You can tell who capping and who not. So it gets to me, and I go, my name is Brandon. I'm from here. So then they just start throwing out random topics. They'll be like, you know, what's cheating? Is it just physical, or is it emotional? Is it this? Is it texting? Is it calling? Blah, blah, blah. So people just talking over each other and stuff. And I'm sitting there kind of quiet. I might throw something funny out there every now and then. And then so people started kind of dialing it down. Then they start throwing out real, you know, topics like, you know, what's racism? Like, you know, if they say you have a family that has, like, you know, black friends, but they wouldn't let black friends date their daughter, like little stuff like that. So it was in Arkansas, like that's a real big thing. So it's like, all right, going back and forth on that. So I'm throwing out my little things, but I'm already defeated at this point. I'm just like, I'm just going to ride this out. I'm already thinking about what I'm going to order when I go across the street. And so everybody's doing their thing. She's like, all right, thank you guys for coming. Everybody gets up, starts walking out, and she grabs my arm. She's like, no, you stay. And I was like, what? She's like, no, you stay. You need to fill this out, blah, blah, blah. Fill this paperwork. And then they called me the next day. They was like, we want to see you again. Came through, had a one-on-one interview with a camera, go through the process. 2 months, no, actually like a month later, they met me. I had to fly out to Oklahoma, do something else. And then it was like, you made it to the finals. They flew me out to L.A. I met everybody at Beauty and Murray Studios. It was cool. We did a whole day of interviews. Like, it was crazy. And they're like, well, the new season is going to be in Cancun, and you seem to be a really good fit. And I'm like, quit my job. I'm finna be famous. No. So that was not the issue. I get back to the house. They call me like 2 weeks later. They're like, yeah, you're not really fitting into the theme that we want to get with this show, but we have something else in mind for you. Just, you know, going to put you on ice for a second. I'm devastated. I literally went home and quit my job. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was that guy. Like, I was like, no, what? Good. Done. So then I started substitute teaching. And I'm like, I got to get money somehow. And then I started working for Verizon. I was doing tech support for Verizon. And I get a random email on my phone because I changed my number because it was free with Verizon. And they're like, we've been trying to get in touch with you. You need to get back with us ASAP. I literally stepped from my cubicle and walked outside, and I was like, hey, what's going on? I was like, would you like to be on the challenge? That was it. And I was like, yeah. So that's how I got on Fresh Meat too. And the rest is, as they say, I hate cliches, history.
Oh, that's cool, man. So what was it about that interaction that you had with that person, that girl, that made you feel like she chose you and told you to stay back?
I think what it was, because back to the point where I was saying when they were asking us, you know, name, age, something, you know, about you or whatever, something interesting about you. Luckily, I got there first because I was just being me. Like, I was just, you know, talking. I'm like, hey, cute girl, I ain't got nothing to do. When we get out of here, I haven't met you. If you want to have a drink, let's go have a drink. Like, it literally was just that. And I think that that was the part that pushed her over to be like, yeah, he's just him. Like, he's not here to, you know, with a headshot and a whole litany of things. That, oh, look at me. She's like, he's going to be him. And that's what they want. Like, they want people to be real. I mean, at the beginning, I think, you know, I have my conspiracy theories moving forward. I mean, you got a lot of people now that they come through with some stuff already set up. They know they're going to do something. You know what I'm saying? But I think what got me on in the beginning was just me being me.
Tell me something about you that most people don't know about.
I'm a great chef. I'm meat marinating. Like, as soon as this is my one day off, I'm about to go hit that grill. So I cook a lot. I was an English major in college. Didn't finish, but I was an English major in college. I played D1 football at the University of Arkansas. It was short-lived. I got hurt, and then you know how it is. Those scholarship players come in and take your spot. I'm not healed fast enough, and done and done. I am very eclectic in my music. So I'm not a, you can't put me in one box on that. And I attribute that to my dad. Like, he used to be a DJ, and I DJ too. I don't know if people know that, but my dad, on the weekends when he would be off, he had all his equipment up or whatever. He literally would put, now that I'm older, I know why he did it. He just didn't want me controlling the TV. So he would put headphones on my head and he'd put an album in. It'd be like just something random. It could be anything from, I mean, of course, you know, he didn't want me just to listen to rap all the time. So it'd be like some old school R&B. It could be anything from bluegrass to straight up country. It could be rock. It could be classical, you know, because even in the third grade, I used to play the violin and the cello. I can't read music anymore because I haven't touched it in I don't know how long. But yeah, just little stuff like that, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. But yeah, I read a lot, write a lot. And yeah, that's about it. I feel
that. So, like, obviously you're not somebody who's afraid of a challenge, man. So what future challenges do you anticipate taking on?
My biggest challenge right now, because, like, you know, going back to when I was talking about how Mark, you know, contacted me about the OGs challenge that might, you know, come to fruition, is just getting in shape. Because, you know, I'm always doing something. I'm always, you know, trying to provide to get back into shape how I was. You know, it's going to take some dedication, but, you know, I just got to set a block of time out every day to get that back. I already started a couple of weeks ago, so I'm getting there. And, you know, I try to keep it simple because, you know, if you make it too complicated, you're going to run yourself into the ground. And I know that's me. The things I put in front of me that I have anxiety about and that I think are so big, I can go get in my car right now. There's some people that can't go get in a car. You know what I'm saying? Right. I can walk into my house. You know what I'm saying? There's folks that ain't got one. So when I put that into perspective, I mean, it really calms me down and gets me into a spot where, you know what, I can get it done. But I'm more of a right now person. Like, I gotta have it right now. But when I think about stuff like that, it really puts things in perspective. So that's like my self therapy.
What's up? I like that, man. I like that. Yeah, man. Brandon, man, you shared a lot of good stuff with us, man. Any last words? Anything you want to leave with the audience? Anything you want your fans out there to know about?
Oh, yeah. One big thing, and last but not least, but no. So I'm always, like I said, I'm selfless. I'm going to put this out. My girl, one of my greatest friends, I've known her since junior high back home in Arkansas. She lives out in LA right now, but go look up PZB, those letters, PZB. She's a DJ, she's an artist, she is ridiculous. She's been coming up man, for the past couple of years, she's done things for Shaq. She's done things for Timberland. She's she used to be the still is, but they can't tour right now. But she's a tour DJ for Eric B and Rakim. She has her own album out right now. Just go to @PZBLive. You can find her on Instagram, Twitter. Cali Rock Entertainment is the brand. I'm the pseudo manager because she doesn't like to talk to people. Clearly, I like to talk. So we're getting some things done on that, man. I'm just praying for her, and I know that she's going to pop, and then, you know, all things are going to fall into place through that. So other than that, follow me at Brandon D. Nelson on all platforms, same name. And, man, I just appreciate you, you know, reaching out to me.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's our show for today.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And as always, like it or not, Beard and Curls is the new his and hers.